Well, with our pastor being gone, I understand last week we had a David, Brother Bill Loggard, shared in the service with us. Today we have a guest, Steve Reed. He and his wife operate the Brook out near Bethpage, and that's about all I know. So I told him, I said, you're just going to have to come up here and introduce yourself, and just ask him to dismiss the service as the Lord led him when he's finished. So please join me in welcoming him and his family today. And Steve, we'll turn it over to you. I know there's a lapel mic here if you prefer that.
Oh, I can do that.
Do you want a little stand out here?
And I'm tall enough as it is, you know. I hate to get way up there. I need to ask this real quick. Who is this the first time you've ever heard me speak? All right, I apologize. All right, right now, you know, because pastor should have warned you. I like to have a good time. And it don't matter where I'm at or what I'm doing or whatever. I got myself in so much trouble at school. How do you do this? I got voted most likely to succeed and most likely to die. I was like, how do you get both of those? I don't know how you get both of those, you know. I guess I was going to succeed and then die. I don't know what it was, you know. But anyway, nobody could ever figure me out. Teachers and everything else, they would actually give me grades just to be quiet. You know, it was weird, you know, and I never thought, it's so funny when we go back to tell you a little bit about us, me and my wife both, we've known each other ever since we was in diapers, you know. I mean, first time I saw her in the Pampers, I was like, yeah, you know, like that, you know, we was in the nursery together, you know, but we have been together all through school. We always hung out in the same groups of kids, and I always laugh because I told them, I said, we were always in the same gang, you know, because we lived in a small town. Everybody knew everybody, you know. And I grew up in a little town called Pilot Knob, Missouri. All right. Now, if you don't know where that's at, have you ever heard of Elephant Rock State Park? If you know where Elephant Rocks are, that's right where we're at. You know, there's a place there called Arcadia Valley, and that's where we grew up, you know. And we were always in the same group. And I said, you know how you are when you're kids, you know, everybody's just a person and they're your friend. And then I remember one day I looked at her and I realized she was different than me. She looked different. She smelled different. Do I have to go any further than that? You know what I'm saying? I knew there was a difference, you know. And so we have known each other ever since we was kids. We were married, you know. We started going to church. She was always going to church. I started going back to church, you know, with her and everything. And then one day God calls me in ministry. Lord have mercy. That's the last thing I ever thought I'd be doing, you know, was ministry. My dad had a lumber company there. I'd helped him with the lumber company. He was getting ready to buy it. Thought that's where we'd raise our kids. That's what we'd be doing. We'd just be a normal church family, you know, paying our tithes, supporting the church, helping with everything we could. And then God calls me in ministry. And we have been from one end of the country to the other. I pastored for about 28 years. I got delivered a few years ago. Everybody always asked me, I said, do you like pastoring? I said, yeah, if it wasn't for people. I loved it, you know. But I loved teaching the word, and I loved I love studying the word, and I love teaching the word. But to be honest with you, when it came to dealing with people, I just didn't do very well, you know. And I'm trying to be as honest with you as I can. I'd love to stand up here and tell you I loved every second of it, you know. Like that. Now, there were times, man, I was wanting to, you know, do that fivefold ministry, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, pow, you know. And I did my best, you know, but I always knew in my heart that we were going to have a place for pastors to come and missionaries to come and be rested up and refreshed and restored. And, you know, so God brought us to the Brook, you know, at Bethpage out here. If you don't know much about the Brook, it's outside of Anderson. You'd head out on Highway 76 going east, and you'll go out there about 9 miles or so, 9.5 miles. You'll see a road on the left. You'll see a sign that says the Brook of Bethpage, and, you know, and I'm the mayor of Bethpage now. we're the only ones that live there, I guess. But anyway, I pretty much call the shots. You know? Are you my neighbors? Are you really? Which way do you live? Oh, do you? Okay, cool. You know, but we love it out there. I mean, we are like, I am like in paradise. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I love it, and we love what we do. We'll have about 150, 160 pastors come through there every year, you know, and we get to minister to them. Some of them need ministered to. Some of them just need friendship. Some of them just need some place to hang out, and some of them just need sleep, you know. And it's just awesome, you know, and we love it here. We love, I also have a construction business, you know what I'm saying? I have to have a way to pay for it. So that's what I do. I've just always built things, you know. My dad told me the first time, he always had me doing something with him because my dad was always working on houses or something. He said he had me at 6 years old, I was nailing hardwood flooring down. And I had my little hammer, and I was just going to town, you know, like that. But he said, I always wanted to help build things, you know. And so that's really what I love doing. I like taking something and making it into something different, you know. I just always love doing that. Well, it really fit really good with ministry. Because if you think about it, that's what God's done with us. He has taken us and made us into a brand new species of being that never existed before. You know, and it's like, and so I, you know, I love seeing people, the change in people's life. I love seeing what the Word of God can do with them, how it can change their mind and their thinking and their actions and everything. You know, it's just awesome. But my wife Susie's here with me this morning, and so there at Hi Sue, and this is our son Garrett. He helps us at the Brook too. You know, and so we love what we do for God. But how many of you know that you're not, that's not really where you get your self-worth. It has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything with about who you know and who knows you and what he's done in your life and the importance you put of him, because you got to realize something. Without him, we can do nothing. Isn't that true? Now, I'm going to read some scripture verses for you this morning that I know these verses right here. And by the way, we love your pastor and his wife, too. They have just been the sweetest, nicest people to us that I have ever seen in my life. You know, they're great people, you know. And I can't believe he actually trusted me to do this while he's gone. I don't know if I'd trust me, but anyway, here we are. You know, so, but I'm going to read some scripture verses for you out of Mark chapter 4. Now, Mark chapter 4, what I'm getting ready to read to you, you've heard this. Now, it's hard telling how many times you've heard this message. But this is not, now I'll put it to you this way, but this is not my main message. But this is the message, but it's not the main message. And it's about the sower and the word, okay? And let's think about this for just a minute. Many of you have heard the story about how Jesus was going along. He said a sower goes out and he sows seed and some falls by the wayside. You know, and the birds come along and they eat it. And then he sows some more seed and it falls on stony ground. It pops up, but as soon as it, you know, a little sun hits it or whatever, then it goes away because it has no roots. And then some of it falls among weeds and all that. And it grows and it looks good, but then all of a sudden the weeds choke it off and it's gone. And then there's the good ground and it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he goes on down the road and pretty soon his disciples come to him and go, what in the world was that all about? How many of you know everything Jesus said, he said for a purpose? He didn't waste his words. He didn't waste what he said, but he said it because he was teaching them something. Now, when they came to him, he said, this is a parable, and if you don't understand this parable, then you won't be able to understand anything else that I share with you. How many of you know that if Jesus emphasizes it and it's that important, then we need to look at it again and go, okay, now why did he say that? Why is that important for me? Because this is what happens, and I can guarantee you this happens. This happens with all of us. How many of you have ever had pastor teach on a subject and you get tested on it the next day? And how many times does that happen to you? You know, if he talks about tithing, guess what? You'll have a financial situation by tomorrow. And you're able then to either trust God and trust his word, or you're not going to do it. You know, and that's just the way it is. If you boil the walk that we have on this earth down to something as simple as this, we hear the word, we receive the word, we're either going to do it or not. And we're either going to depend on that word that we hear the next day, or we're not going to do it. And we'll just walk on our way and do the things we've always done before, you know. And this is what I found out. When I started learning the Word of God, I started actually, I actually treated it as, this is the truth. This is how I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to do this. If God says to do this, this is the way I'm going to do it. This is the way I'm going to treat people. This is the way I'm going to react to a situation or with my finances or whatever it is in my life. I want to just do His Word. Because I found out something, obedience is better than sacrifice. And when we obey, there's always rewards. Every time, there's always rewards. God is never going to let you outgive Him. And if you just obey, obeying the Word, there comes a reward for doing that. That's just the way it works. Now, when Jesus is describing, think about this for a moment, because it doesn't matter where you're at, what church you're in, or wherever, you're going to have these people in church. Now, I'm not going to say right here at this church, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying when I say the church. I mean the universal church. This is what you have in the universal church all over the world. This is the four types of people. You can put people in these four categories. Boom, 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 boom. These four. And look what it says in Mark chapter 4, and look down in verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Now, the parable of the guy going out and sowing seed, okay? He says, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Now, what Pastor Cecil has asked me to do this morning is come here, and I am sowing something into your life. And it's either going to be good or bad, you know? How many of you know every day people are sowing things into your life, and it's either going to be good or it's going to be bad? You have to be able to realize what's good, what's bad, chew up the hay, and spit out the sticks. Just what you got to do, you know? So whenever I come here or when someone gets up, they're sowing something. So he says a sower, his kind of sower that he's talking about, sows the word into your life. Now, what's sad in the church as a whole? Now, how many of you have ever asked yourself this? How can people call themselves Christians and act that way? None of you? Then I'm at the wrong church. How many of you have ever done that? You've said, if they're supposed to be a Christian, how are they acting that way? How are they treating people that way? How are they able to live with themselves in doing those things? Because, folks, let me share something with you. Everybody in this room is hearing the same words this morning. But not everybody's hearing the same words this morning. Now, you can walk out of here this morning, I guarantee you, and it doesn't matter the size crowd. You can have 10 people or you can have 1,000. And you can interview each one of them and say, what'd you get out of the service this morning? And some of them will look at you and go, nothing. Most boring thing I've ever been through in my life. You can ask the very next person, they'll go, was you not there? Two people heard the same thing. And they reacted to it completely different. Now, how is that? How can that be? Because we both said under, and I've been there before with people. I've been there where I've said, man, was that not good or what? What? Did you not hear what he just said? Oh, well, you know, it's like, yeah, nah, 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 you know. And it might have been something that transformed your life, and it might not have even affected the other guy. Because listen what it says. It says, and the sower sows the word, and these are the ones sown by the wayside where the word was sown. And when they hear, notice they hear it, Satan. Now, I got news for you. You might not have ever thought about this before. But Satan comes to church. But he doesn't come to hear the truth. He comes for one purpose, and it's to steal the word before it ever takes effect in your life. That's why you can be sitting here hearing what I'm saying and think about washing your car. Or wonder if you turned the iron off. Did I turn the iron off or what? And you ever notice that then by the time you catch back around, the pastor's going, is that right? And you go, amen. But if he said, you just said amen. To what? I think I turned the iron off. Isn't it true? Because you sit there and you go, now, wait a minute, he just said something. And it sounded so important because everybody said amen, and I said amen, but I don't know what I said amen to. Because Satan, now think about this, in the Greek, it says it this way. It says, Satan comes immediately. The word immediately there is a word for the shortest amount of measured time known to man. So when it comes out of my mouth, you hear it, but before your brain has any chance to even process it, he'll steal it. You know why, how he does that a lot of times? Like this. The pastor will say something out of his mouth, and immediately Satan goes, uh-huh, that's right, I hope Sister So-and-so is listening. You're like, that's right, because you know how she is. And the next thing you know, you're already going arguing with yourself, telling yourself how much better you are than them because you don't do that. Isn't it true? And the next thing you know, you're here listening for somebody else, and you're not here to listen for anybody else. You're here to listen for yourself. See, I'm here for the word for me. I can't do nothing about anybody else. I can't make them live it. I can't make them do it. But I can work on me. And I figured out something a long time ago. In marriage, it is not my responsibility to straighten my wife out. That got some amens from some guys, and some other guys were like, oh, me. I don't know what he's talking about. How many of you know, I've been pastor, you know, I've done all the marriage counseling. I gave up on that. I just told him, I said, you ain't willing to listen anyway. You're in love. But you know what they'd tell me every time? Well, he'll change once we get married. He can't even change his underwear without you telling him. How are you going to change his mind? How are you going to change the way he does things? Or he'll say, well, once we get married, she'll see I'm right. You see what I'm saying? See, we're not here to change someone else. We're here to let the Word of God change us. Because I got things in my life the Word of God has to work on. Now, I say this, and I'm telling you what. Yeah, okay, there's some churches. Now, I'm telling you, I'm about to say something right here, and some of you are going to shake your head like you agree with me, but inside you're going, I don't know if I believe that or not. When I first got back with the Lord, walking with the Lord and everything else, do you know what? I still chewed tobacco. And when I got back with God, and I'm in it, man, I'm on the front row saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I'm crying and everything else. And you know what? And the Lord never mentioned the tobacco once. I know. Crazy, isn't it? You'd think that'd be the first thing he'd say. All right, boy. Take that skull out of the back of your pocket and fling it as hard as you can. But he didn't. Now I'm about to tell you something else, and this is going to shock you. He didn't even tell me to quit drinking beer. You didn't get saved then. Do you know why he didn't do those? Because I had deeper issues that were a lot worse than drinking a beer or chewing skull. I had issues in my life that God had to work on, and he had to surgically do those things. Now, you know what happened? After I'd been walking with the Lord a while and he'd been working on some things, hatred and different things in my heart, that I had hatred toward people and I had things that they had hurt me and I wanted to hurt them, and God had to work on all those things. And then one day, you know what? I'm just standing there, pulled out my skull, looked at it, and the Lord said, throw that in the trash can, you'll never use it again. I went, boom, like that, and it was gone. But it wasn't because some guy was pointing his finger at me saying, you better put that down, you're going to hell. Because God knew there were heart issues in me and things that had to be dealt with then. And then he could start speaking to me about other things in my life. But you know what I was doing? I was listening to God's word for me. I wasn't going around judging everybody else and saying, well, at least I'm better than them.
I choose skull. They choose something else, and it's not what like skull. Isn't it crazy? I love what Casting Crowns says in one of their songs. They said, we can't change people. Our people can't get to you because they keep stumbling over me. How many of you know, a lot of people like to come to God. A lot of people like to come to Jesus, but they can't get to him because we're standing in the way telling them what all they're doing wrong. And see, the word is for me. So when I come, my heart has to be ready to receive the word of God, and I can't let it just go, because I'm telling you, if I got my mind off somewhere else, Satan will come immediately and just steal it, just like that. And it never does do any, it never changes me at all. That's why some people can go to church all their lives and never be changed. Now listen, I grew up in the little Southern Baptist church, and we had this one, now please understand now, we had this one older gentleman, and he sat right here every Sunday. No, I'm sorry. Right here every Sunday. Every Sunday. And everybody knew that was his seat. Well, we had Sunday school one morning, and we had a new family come in, and they plopped themselves down there. Now, this guy, now I'm not exaggerating. He had every badge you could have for going to Sunday school. And he flaunted. He wore it all the time. Told everybody how great he was. Gave his testimony of how great he was. Matter of fact, when we sang how great thou art, he thought we were singing about him. And that family was sitting there, and I watched him. I'm a kid. I'm sitting there with my dad. And he came up out of Sunday school, and he stood up, come over here, and he just went, staring at that family. I'm looking at my dad. I'm like, what's going on? All of a sudden, he looked at me. He goes, you're in my seat. Now, here's a family. They got three little kids with them, young family. And they said, excuse me? And he goes, you're in my seat. That's where I sit. And that family got up, went out the back door, and nobody ever stopped them. And I'm a little kid, and I'm sitting there, and I said, Dad, look what he just did. He plopped down his seat, though, and he is just so happy. He got his seat. Now, that's a man went to church all of his life, and the word of God never touched his heart. He got his seat, and his name was on the row. But he's one of them that go, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? Did I not do that? And it's not about you knowing him. The Bible says, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. There are a lot of people know about Jesus, can tell you all kinds of things about him. But he don't know them, because they've never let him in. They've never let him come in and examine their heart and examine the rooms in their life and go, you don't need that. But this is what you need. Amen. And notice what it says. It says, and he comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. Now, all of you in here, there's not a one of you here I don't have to talk about stony ground, and you don't know what I'm talking about. You live in Missouri. Lord have mercy. We moved out there, you know, out there in Bethpage. And I'm wondering why nobody grows anything. Everybody's got cattle. And I'm thinking, man, look at that big field right there. We got field. We can grow corn and everything else. And this one guy, Dr. Dale Kunkel up there, he looked at me. He goes, you ain't growing nothing there. Why do you think everybody got cows? It's great for cattle, but it ain't worth nothing to try to grow anything. And then I start digging. And I found out why. Built a house there in Pineville, and Lord have mercy, you should have saw the boulders we was pulling out. I was like, guys digging the footing and everything else. I came back and I go, Elephant Rocks is here now. He goes, that's what I pulled out of one of the big pieces of ground. Big old, and I'm like, look, I was like, whoa. Now, think about the boulders and the stones that are in people's hearts. And what happens is this. Most of the church as a whole, and we've trained, listen, I'm telling you something right now, folks. You as a believer, it's not your fault. Religion has done this to people. What people basically try to do is survive on the pastor's prayer time, study time. But how many of you know that religion will do that and tell you, you can't understand this, so don't even try to read it. You let me tell you what it says. Because I'm the anointed one. How many of you know that you have the greatest teacher on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit? Now, I got to tell you what happened with me. Susie and I was married, and, you know, of course, she's going to church, and, of course, you know, she's trying to get me to go to church with her, and I act like I'm asleep on Sunday morning, you know. Oh, honey, I'm so tired. I can't go. She'd take my little daughter. She'd go. And when I did turn my life back over to the Lord, I'm in it. And I was serious. And all of a sudden, I was wanting to know more about the Word, and the Lord started waking me up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to be at work by 7, and I would spend time at the kitchen table. Now, at that time, I didn't even know there was such a thing as study books. Didn't know it. All I had was a giant print King James Bible that my mom had bought for me because she was so glad I was going back to church. I don't know why she bought the giant print. I don't know if it was on sale or she just thought I couldn't see. I was young then. I could see. Matter of fact, I'd have to put the book back across the room. Okay. If I held it up here, it just looked like big letters. But here I am with that Bible, and I'm going through there, and guess what's happening? I'm reading scripture verses. Now, I didn't know. Okay. Please understand me. I didn't even know the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. I didn't know any of that. All I knew was the Bible, and I was supposed to read it. So I would read the Bible, and I'd start underlining things, and I'd start writing, like, notes. And I didn't quite know why I was writing these notes. I was just writing notes. And I didn't even know if it was right to write in your Bible, so I didn't tell anybody I was doing it. But here I was making all these notes and doing all this, and, you know, and I'd go through, and I'd write all. Now, I mean, I had my Bible just all marked up, you know. Well, then, I'm taking you along here. Well, then God calls me, and, you know, and I go to Rhema Bible Training Center out in Tulsa. That's where I go to school. I'm supposed to be in ministry, so I better go to Bible school somewhere. When I get out there, listen to this. Everything they were teaching us, I'd already written it down in my Bible. They'd say, this word in the Greek means this, and I'd look, and I'd have the definition written. I was like, oh. And at first, I didn't realize what was happening. You know what I'm saying? I was just looking and going, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, they said this means this, and I wrote that. That's cool. But folks, let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit's inside of you, and he's the greatest teacher, and the Holy Spirit's teaching through them, guess what was doing? It was just confirming already what the Holy Spirit had been teaching me and showing me. And so all of a sudden, it dawns on me what's going on. And then I'm getting all excited. I'm like going, wow, this is cool, you know. And then I really start marking it up. But you see, this was my time of study. That was my time of prayer. And so what I was doing is, listen, if you have stony ground, there's no root system. If you don't have a root system in yourself, then look what the Word of God says will happen. It says, this is stony ground. When they hear the Word, immediately they receive it with gladness. In other words, these are people that have learned, hey, I've got to listen to this. Because if I don't listen to the pastor, I got to wait till next week to hear anything else. So they receive it with gladness, but look what happens. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises because they've been such bad, miserable people. No, for what? For the Word's sake. Okay, so you come to church, you hear the Word, you receive it with gladness, you say, man, this is so good, I can't wait till next Sunday to come back and hear the rest of it. But before you get here, tribulation, persecution arises, and it makes you doubt what was being taught to you the week before. Because pastor said, to be blessed, you need to be a giver. So you gave, and all of a sudden you got less money now than you had before. And all of a sudden you got bills in the mail you wasn't expecting. And immediately the enemy says this, if you wouldn't have gave that money, you'd have had the money to pay that. He lied to you. How do you think Adam and Eve were fooled in the garden? Did God really say that? Well, maybe he didn't say that. And then what happens is, because they have no root system in themselves. See, when you have a root system, what happens is you're nourishing the plant. And so what you were taught, you're hearing it from the word yourself. You're reading it in the word yourself. And then all it does is it just causes the plant to be stronger. And what happens with you is when you have a root system, whenever those tests and trials come, you go, oh, I know why this is coming. Matter of fact, I gave $50 last week. This week, I'm giving $100. Your whole attitude changes. You don't give up, but you rise up. You don't say, I'm not going to do that, but it causes you to have faith where you say, you know what? I'm even going to do it more this time. And see, that's the difference. We want to know why some people seem that they just go with God and just get in there and do the thing. It's because they hear it. And they have that root system in themselves, so it's just getting nourished, and the plant just goes stronger the next week. And then when you come back the next week, all of a sudden pastor says something, and you go, well, that's exactly what I read last week. This is cool. Amen. And notice what it says. It says, and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Folks, I can't tell you the amount of times. As I was pastoring, I can't tell you the amount of times. People walked out the back door shaking my hand after it was over and said, man, that was great. Oh, my gosh, that changed my life. And the next week, they're not back at church. And you find out later, they've decided it don't work. Well, you said, and it didn't work. I said, how do you know it didn't? You gave it 48 hours. That would be like, okay, how dumb would that be for you to go out in your yard, plant a garden, 48 hours later go out there and go, okay, where's it at? I put it in the ground. I put some water on it. It's been 48 hours. I want some potatoes. Yeah, that's exactly what I'd say. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it ain't there. Why? Because it has to have time to grow. It has to have time because, listen, it's not been long enough yet. And you've got to be patient with it and know that God, listen, there are seeds that Susie and I have sown years ago that we're reaping from today. But if we would have gave up on that or said, oh, no, this doesn't work, or if we would have stopped it, we wouldn't be benefiting from where we're at today because of it. Amen. And look what it says. It says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Oh, boy. Now, I'm going to step on some toes right here. But you know what? I'm not the pastor. Any letters or cards you want to send, just send them to Cecil Hall. Okay? This has happened to me as a pastor. I can't even tell you the amount of times. You'll have a family come in. They're struggling financially. They get in there, start hearing the word. Man, they start to grow. I mean, listen, we were in Iron County, Missouri. At the time we started our church there, the first church we ever pastored, it was the second highest unemployment county in the state. Almost everybody in our church was receiving government help. How long was we there, hon? What did we say? 6 years? 6 years later, one lady was on government help. Everybody else had started their businesses, done things, prospering. The word, it was the word, the word, the word. They were learning how to sow, how to give, how to believe God, how to trust God. And we were seeing our church prosper. And all of a sudden, and everybody in town couldn't figure out how these people, they were ex-drug dealers and everything else, and now they're owning their own business and they're doing great. And how's they doing that? Because of the word. But let me tell you the other thing, the other side of that. But you'd have these people come in and God would start blessing them and they'd start doing the word and things would start happening. And then all of a sudden, you wouldn't see them at church. And they were faithful, man. They were there every time the doors were open, man. You know, and then you'd see them out and I'd go, hey, man, where you been? Oh, well, Pastor, you wouldn't believe how busy we are. Yeah, well, I am too. But where were you? Well, you know, we bought a boat. The only day we can take it out is Sunday. So that's where we've been. All summer? Yeah, we go every Sunday. Because, you know, if you're going to buy a boat, you need to use it. And I'm not just talking about a boat, folks, but it could be anything. And the next thing you know, and listen, I watched it over and over again. I'm not saying this to bring condemnation to anyone. I'm saying I watched it. When people would allow the cares and deceitfulness of riches and a desire for other things to come in, pretty soon they'd lose their job and pretty soon they lost their family. Because everything else became more important than the word. Listen, does God want to prosper us? Yes. Does God want to, is God against us having things? No. God has things. Read how heaven looks. I mean, you're talking about a God that goes around with trucks full of gold and poor streets. You're talking about he has a pearl for a gate. I don't know about you, that's pretty extravagant. Donald Trump, don't do that. Right? So God has nothing. He says, it's not about the things, it's about if they have you. You know why the rich young ruler walked away? It wasn't because of the things. He had things, it was because they had him. If you have, God showed me this picture one time, and he showed me it with all his riches and wealth and houses and all that, and I had my hand around him, like that. And I was like, He said, now, turn them loose. I turned them loose, and they all went. Then he showed me a picture of a guy, and all the things were wrapped around him. He said, the difference is when you control them, then if I tell you to turn it loose, you can just turn it loose. But if they control you, then they tell you when they're going to turn you loose. He said, so it's not about the things, it's about who's in control. And notice what it says. And it says, it comes in, and there's a desire for other things entering in. Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Which meant it was fruitful in their life at one time, then it became unfruitful. Because of all the stuff that's around us that tries to choke it off. Now listen to this. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, okay? Now, in the Greek, and I'm sure your pastor said this to you before, the Greek language is so awesome because there are certain phrases and words that are used that are in what we call the continual voice, which means this. You could read this scripture verse this way. Let me give you another good one. You know the woman at the well, when Jesus was talking to her? He says, the water that you're drawing from here, you'll thirst again. But the water that I shall give you, this is how he says it in the Greek. You shall never, forever, ever, ever thirst again. Here he says, he who hears the word and hears the word, and hears the word, and hears the word, and hears the word. Now, here's what happens in church. I can go to churches, and I can say I'm going to teach on the sower and the word, and there'll be some people check out. I've heard this 100 times. I can quote that thing forward and backward. And those people will never receive anything. Because if you're to hear it over and over and over, it's so interesting. When I went out on the road, I was out on the road for 3 years and just went from one end of the country to the other, just ministering the word, churches. Preaching 1 year, I preached in 35 different churches. Okay? every church I went into that was the first time I'd ever been there, the Lord said, this is the message I want you to preach. And I'd go, in every church, he said, in every church. But the Lord told me this. He said, but every time you get ready to teach it, I want you to study it again. Just like you never studied it before. So every time I got ready, I would study these verses again. Go over them again, just like I'd never heard them before. And I, you know how you know, oh, Lord, I don't get this. I don't get why I'm doing this. He said, because you leak. You ever notice when you go to sleep at night, get up the next day? Now, some of you try this Monday morning. Look at each other. If you're married, look at each other and say, what'd Steve Reed teach on Sunday? The Bible? You ever notice when you lay your head down at night, things leak out? Just like, go right into your pillow. You're like, that's why somebody go, what'd you have for supper last night? Oh, food? Yeah, but what'd you have for supper? It's good. Some of you are going, you can ask me about breakfast. No, I can't remember. But we do, folks. We forget things. So being reminded, and that's why he says, now listen to what he says. But these are the ones who are good ground, those who hear and keep on hearing and keep on hearing and keep on hearing. Doesn't matter how many times they've heard it. If they hear it again, they've heard it again, and they grab a hold of it like, yeah. Now listen to this. They hear the word, accept it. The word is receive, but it's an interesting Greek word because it means this. Receive it or accept it whether you like it or not. Y'all like, I know how religious people are, see. I know how we are in the church. Oh, there's nothing about God's word I don't like. I love it all. Oh, yeah. All of us got those little touchy places, you know what I'm saying? It's just like when you go to Golden Corral. You don't eat everything on the bar. There are certain things you pass up. Don't eat those. Right? Because we treat the Word of God like that sometimes. There are certain things we love. Boy, when pastors, because I'm a big teacher on end times. I've done a bunch of times. So a lot of times people say, man, are you going to teach on end times again? You know, like that. And I'll go, yeah, next week. Oh, I'll be there. But then they go, are you going to teach on end times next week? No, I'm going to probably teach on tithing. I think we got to be at the lake on our boat. I know. Hey, listen, I'm the same way. You know, I had certain things that I wanted to hear Pastor Bob Yandy, and when I was attending history, I want to hear Pastor Bob teach on that again. And then Pastor Bob would teach on something like, you know, being holy or something like that. And I was like, well, get thee behind me. Don't want to hear that, you know. Because I had certain things that I really liked that he taught, and then other things I thought, you know, you can just stay away from that. You're meddling now, and you're making me uncomfortable. How many of you know this is the way it is? The Word of God is meant to make you uncomfortable. Your flesh. You got to think about it. How much of the Word of God is your flesh going to like? Not much of it. Your flesh is going to go, oh, God, man. Oh. It's kind of like, I don't know if it was Jesse DePlanis or who it was one time. No, Jerry Savelle. He was talking about, he said, when he first started reading the Bible, he said, every time he started to read the Bible, he'd fall asleep. So he said, I was like, man, I got to quit this, man. I fall asleep every time I start to read the Bible. So he said, you know, he said, back then, you're crazy, you know. And he said, so I thought, how am I going to do this? So he said, I went in there in the bathroom. I stood up on the edge of the bathtub. And I got to look, and I thought, if I fall asleep, my head's going to hit the faucet. He said, it was amazing how my flesh would stay awake. It was so alert. It was like, well, we don't need sleep, do we? Because there's one thing your flesh hates worse than the word, and it's pain. So he said, as long as I knew I was going to fall down and hit my head, my flesh just stayed wide awake. I'd just read all day long if I wanted to. You say, well, why would somebody do that? Because when you're desperate and when you got to have the word, you'll figure out a way to do it. But it's got to be that way in your life. You've got to realize you can't live without the word of God. Can't do it. You can't live and have a, you know, the peace and joy and everything else you want without it. Now listen to this. He says he accepts the word and bears fruit. There's that thing. Don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. The only ones that really see the word of God working in their life and really see the benefits and the and from that is when they not only hear it and keep on hearing it, they receive it, say, yep, I needed that, but they start doing it. And then they start seeing the fruit from it. And they're like, man, this is cool, you know. And notice what he says. They bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That phrase in the Greek was a phrase that meant this. Once the fruit starts, there can be no end. I always hear people say this. Oh, I can't wait till my 100-fold blessing comes in. And I said, well, boy, you're cutting way short. Well, what do you mean? I said, that's just a phrase that means there's no stopping it. How do you know God wants to stop at 100? How do you know he might want to go to a million, a billion, a trillion? Yeah, just announced the other day, the first trillionaire is about ready to be announced. I hope that's me. Why not? You go, oh, well, I love that people say this. I think people, religious people are the funniest people in the world. You know, you go, I guess you go, man, that lottery was up to $1 billion. Oh, I don't want that much money. I'm looking at it like, liar! You let them knock on your door and say, hey, you just won $1 billion. Oh, never mind. I just go down the road, give that to my neighbor. I'll just take 100. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you'd be doing a dance. Even if you don't believe in dancing, you'd do it. You'd repent later. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. You'd be like, yeah, you know? And you say, how do you know that? Folks, we're just human. Now, what you would do with it and everything else would be between you and God, you know? But how do you know God doesn't want to bless you in that way? How do you know he doesn't want to do something in your life like that? I know this. The Bible says this. The thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word abundantly there is the word we get surplus. In other words, what do you do with surplus? You give it away. If your whole reason for wanting to be blessed by God is so you can give it away and help other people and see that other people are blessed, guess what? God will go out of his way to get it to you. People always ask us, you know, the brook. I told you a little bit about the brook. They look at you so funny when you say this. They'll look at us and they'll say, we'll have a pastor call and say, I saw your the brook and I saw it on the website, but I got a question. And we always know what it's going to be. So I can come for 5 nights for free. We say, yeah. Now let me get this straight. I want to come for 5 nights. Yeah. And I'm going to have my wife with me. Mm-hmm. And how much is it going to cost? We say, well, free. Now let me go this. I'm going to run this past you one more time. I'm coming for 5 nights with my wife. How much are you going to run? I said, well, take a 0 times 5. What is that? 0. It's free. Now, we charge a little cleaning fee, you know what I'm saying? But they don't have to pay for the room. And even if they don't have the clean fee, they can come. And they'll get there, and they'll still ask us, now, we're about to check in. We're staying 5 nights. I've got my wife. What's it going to run? Say, well, since you're insisting, go ahead and pay us. Well, how much is it? 0. And they will always ask us the same question. Why do you do that? And I said, because God told us to. That's it. It's not because I'm some genius. You know what I'm saying? If I was this genius, I would be a terrible innkeeper. I couldn't make it with a Motel 6. Because we'll leave the light on for you and you don't pay anything. After a while, you're going to go broke. You know what I'm saying? But it's different if God tells you to do it. And you know what we found out? It's easier running it that way than it is if you charged. Because this is what we find out. I would rather God come up with the finances than to have to trust people. And that's just our God. See, if he tells you to do something, doesn't matter how dumb it sounds or how ridiculous it sounds or how against the grain it sounds, you go ahead and do it. I had a guy ask me one time, he goes, well, how are you going to do this? You don't have any money. And I said, listen, in my whole ministry, I've been in ministry now since 84 when we went to Rhema? Yeah, 84. Yeah, 1984. And God's never asked me to do something I could afford. Never. I don't even know what I'd do if he told me to do something and I had the money. I look at him like, are you sure? Everything he's ever asked us to do, it doesn't matter if I was pastoring or whatever, he'd say, I want you to do this. And you go, okay, all right. And the board would always ask me the same question, Pastor, how are we going to pay for this? I'd go, I don't know. And they'd go, okay, let's do it. Because they knew something. If I didn't know how we were going to do it, it had to be God. If I already figured it out, then it was us. D.L. Moody said something to his son before he died. He said, son, in ministry, always stick your neck out further than you can hold it up. Because here's what you find out. If it ain't God, I don't want to be involved in it. Because if it's all man and it's all man's way of doing it, eventually it'll come crashing down. But when it's God, he just sustains it. And I don't know if you know the history of the brook out there and everything else, but this whole ministry, was even the ground that it's on, was dedicated to the Lord back in the 1800s. It's been dedicated to the Lord the whole time. It's been a property. So you can't do nothing else with it. There have been people tried. They've tried to do other things with it, and it just won't work. And now, I'm going to tell you how inept I am to do everything that I'm doing and how it has to be God. We've been living there now almost 5 years. I'm driving down from our cottages, and I drive past the cross, and some of you know where the cross is at, is out there. And I stopped. All of a sudden, I got off, and I had to do a little jig. And you guys know what a jig is around here? Yeah. And I thought, it just dawned on me. I got a cross on my property. Now, I've been there 5 years. But this lightning quick mind finally got it. I thought, how many people can say they got a cross on their property and not belong to the KKK? I have a cross where I can go and pray anytime I want to pray. I got a cross where I can just go and sit and just listen to God. You know what I'm saying? And this is where you see us, God. Because if it had been up to me, I couldn't have done any of this. But because we took the word serious and we listened to the word, heard the word, received it whether we wanted to or not. And it hurt sometime when we'd hear the word because I knew I was doing certain things that was being preached. And I was like, oh, goodness, I got to change. And then we started doing it. And it didn't come overnight. And it didn't come by the next day, but it came. Because we started seeing God's faithfulness. If we'll just put our trust in him, He will be faithful. And he will bless us beyond anything we could think or imagine. Because when we look around and we see where we get to live, we see what God's provision, we saw how God did it, we know this all God. And it wasn't because we were financially able to do it. It's just because we are obedient to his word. And that's all God is looking for, is obedience. Amen. Amen. I don't know how you guys, they told me, they said, you can close it out however you want, you know, like that. So I guess what I'll do is, if I could have a big bucket up here, I'd like to take up an offering. No, I'm just kidding. And all you ought to tell Pastor Cecil that. You'll never guess what Steve did. But I just want to take this moment to, and I always do this whenever I close out my service, because I don't know everybody that's in here. I really, you know, I don't know all of you. I know some of you because I've been here before and I've seen you. But if you would just bow your head for just a moment. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, but you say, I want Jesus in my life. And I don't know if somebody come, oh, okay, thank you, brother. Lord, you. But if you say, you know, I've never received Christ in my life, but I would like to. I would like to know what it is to be, you know, what they call born again or receive Christ. If that's you, would you put your hand up if you just say, that's me. I'd like to receive Christ in my life. Okay.